This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's James Steinberg.
Our success rate with having the greatest guest ever on the Paracast this year continues unabated. With Gina and Chris, we've got a lot of ground to cover, so instead of boring you with our preamble of the week and explaining what's going on, we're just going to jump right to our guest, who is Chris Aubeck. And we'll refer to him as Chris A, and we'll refer to our Chris as either Chris O or Chris B, depending on my point of view, if I don't call him by his original birth name, K.K. Barnes. In any case, Chris Aubeck, of course, is the co-author with Jacques Vallée of Wonders in the Sky, which is basically a book that covers older UFO cases from biblical ages to 1879. So if we want to think that maybe UFOs are all secret weapons, what kind of secret weapons did they have in 1879 that caused all these things to happen? And we'll, of course, be having Chris A. answer your questions about all this. But before we move beyond that, let's get to the beginning here. Chris A., Chris Aubeck, what attracted you to the study of folklore, UFOs, things like that?
Hi, yeah. Well, when I was about 13 years old, I decided I wanted to read every book ever published in the local university library. So I'd spend long hours there just sitting at a table, and I'd be playing truant half the time, to be honest, and just going through every book on folklore, Greek mythology, and so on that I could find. I became interested in parapsychology first, partly because of a couple of personal experiences, which today I wouldn't know how to classify them at all, and also because I thought they were a very interesting challenge to established dogma. I became a member of the Ancient Astronaut Society through reading some mangy old paperback books at a market I found by Eric von Däniken. And then I began writing to the authors of some of the articles published there, and surprise, surprise, they replied to me. So I began quite early in that sense. I mean, age 13, 14, 15, I struck up a friendship with W. Raymond Drake, who was one of the first writers in this field, well, in the field of ancient astronauts, that is.
Right.
In the 1960s, he was already publishing books about the possibility that even the sun was inhabited and so on, which at the time I thought was quite strange. But now in hindsight, I realize that people have speculated about life in the sun for over 150 years, so it's not such a strange idea, perhaps. Then after that, I went to the States in 1990. When I was 18 years old, and I met some of these writers then. In 1991, I came to Spain, and that was a big adventure too. There's a whole story there. But I just came here with lots of notes and books and things, and with the idea of researching European folklore, looking for more information about ancient UFOs, anomalies in general. Well, here I am all these years later. So I got into the UFO community here in Spain. I was accepted into that, and it just started that way, I suppose.
Let me go back to what you said at the beginning of your answer, that you had a couple of personal experiences. Would you care to give us the basics?
Well, I became interested in parapsychology when I was about 13 because I felt that I'd heard voices of some kind, and it was quite specific information. So I decided that either I was some kind of radio transmitter, or I was experiencing anything, psychosis or whatever. I began to research it, and I discovered a whole world of interesting experiences, anomalies, books on psychiatry and so on. And that, in a sense, drove me further into parapsychology. But I wouldn't be able to say that I believe any of the experiences I had at that age were either unique or paranormal. But it certainly inspired me to get deeper into this field.
Again, how old were you when this happened?
I was around 13 years old. I used to, I won't.
That's when you had your experiences.
Yeah. I mean, you know, then I had them over a period of years, but I was more interested in, finding any kind of explanation I could. And I also discovered, I remember that many young teenagers had this kind of experience, and I didn't feel particularly strange or unique in that sense. And I began getting all kinds of literature on psychiatry, psychoses and so on, to see if I could find some kind of explanation. But, you know, I mean, now I'm that I was 13 then, and that was 30 years ago. So I would look upon that today from a different level of maturity and experience. Well, a slightly better understanding of science. But it's too late for me to test any of that because, of course, it all happened 30 years ago.
You mentioned the interest in ancient astronauts, and we know that even Mr. Drake was not the first writer on the subject. You had Trench, of course, another British author who wrote books on the subject. Also, Desmond Leslie wrote the first part of Flying Saucers Have Landed, the contactee book about the experiences of George Adamski. But a lot of people ignored part one of the book, which was, of course, about ancient astronauts. And I don't know if you ever heard of this guy, Yonah Fortner, who wrote under the name Y.N. Ibn Aharon for Jim Moseley's Saucer News.
I believe I have heard of him, actually. Yes, it's a name I've come across before, I believe. Yeah.
He was one of the pioneers. He was writing about in the 1950s. But let's get to the area that helps us leap off to the studies you did with Jacques Vallée.
Well, if you don't mind, if I can just correct you about the idea that he was a pioneer, because I've just been writing about the origin of the ancient astronaut theory in general. And, you know, there's roots of, I mean, there were books published and articles published going back to the 18th century in which people speculated that people had come, or our ancestors had come from other planets. There was the Austrian missionary, Martin Dobrovzova, who was born in 1717, and he speculated that maybe the jungles that he was visiting then in South America were populated by tribes who'd perhaps fallen from space. They'd come from other planets. And then this theory was taken up around 1822 and discussed a little bit more in English. Originally, he was from Austria, but then it entered the English language around 1822. But then, even then, I mean, in the 17th century, we have Francis Godwin, Bishop of Hereford, who introduced the whole motif of ancient astronauts in a novel, saying that the Indian tribes the Red Indians, he said at that time, of America were possibly people who had come from the moon. And so on and so on. The actual the history of ancient astronauts is vast. I mean, compared to what's been written the last 50 or 60 years, it's a lot older and a lot more interesting.
You say a lot more interesting, and we've got a break in a moment for a couple of pieces of business from our benefactors. But I'm going to ask you to begin this with our next segment, and that is, why are these earlier writings more interesting than the more recent ones with which we are familiar? Once again, remind you listeners, if you go to theparacast.com, theparacast.com, you get a copy when you sign up to our weekly newsletter of Chris O'Brien's Secrets of the Mysterious Valley. Sign up for our weekly newsletter at theparacast.com. We've got Chris Aubeck with Gene and Chris B. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Adam Miller here with Midas Resources. Today, October 1st, 2014, gold opened at $1,216.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,261.65, $630.82 for a half ounce, or $315.41 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,261.65, $630.82, and $315.41.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Summertime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know summer is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for summer specials, including all sizes of colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, and intestinal freedom on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, and Metabolic Complex and Pro-Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Wormwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and look for summer specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
One of those Chris and Chris shows again. We have to stop doing that, repeating the error of our ways, but we just get so many great guests named Chris, we can't do it. Chris Aubeck, who, of course, has been studying UFOs and folklore in antiquity and is co-author with Jacques Vallée of Wonders in the Sky. Now, Chris A., you were telling us at the end of the previous segment how some of those older writings about possible ancient astronauts seem more interesting to you. Why?
Well, yes, because the theories of von Däniken and his predecessors in the 20th century, well, they arose in the middle of a period in which science fiction was very popular, and there were already science fiction works which discussed the possibility our ancestors had come from other planets. So when the same ideas can be found in books published in the middle of or the beginning of the 19th century in France, science fiction was beginning to blossom at that time. It almost seemed to erupt in a kind of vacuum. At least it didn't have a fictional basis. So there are many French writers who began to say that the fossils that we find under our feet had possibly fallen from the sky after the explosion of a planet, a kind of ninth or tenth planet, or however you want to count them, and that people had fallen to Earth among artifacts and pieces of masonry and signs of civilization and so on, and that the animals, even the dead ones, had been scattered from this wrecked planet in space and fallen on the Earth. And this was one of the earliest ideas about the origin of fossils. People wondered whether, well, not people, but a certain number of people wondered whether fossils that later Charles Darwin would turn into the basis of his theories of evolution had come from another planet. And even this idea really is a lot older than that, because prehistoric tools, flint knives and so on, had often been attributed to beings in space, to intelligences above the sky. So there's a definite vein of interest in the ancient astronaut theory going back many centuries. And even towards the end of the 19th century, just 50 years before it was reintroduced in the flying saucer age, people were already speculating about whether our ancestors had come from outer space. So I find that the history of it to be much more interesting because it emerged in an imaginative vacuum, in a sense. There was nothing in science fiction at the time to suggest that it was a popular idea.
Well, certainly, let me ask your viewpoint about this. Do you think that what we do report about interactions with higher beings in biblical times, that as far as you're concerned, it does indicate that we got into contact with E.T.? And I'll just say it. Was God the pilot of a spaceship or the general?
Well, in my opinion, most of the cases that are proposed as abductions or UFO sightings in the Bible were not. They were just symbolic representations of God. Or if you look at these sightings, at these events in their original context, you quickly reach the conclusion that they were created as stories for a specific purpose. They certainly weren't created so that 2,000 years later we could wonder whether these wheels were made of metal and had motors attached and so on. I think that virtually every story I've seen from a biblical source or an apocryphal source can be explained, whether it was some kind of symbol or sometimes it was just the evolution of a prior idea, whether that was wheels within wheels and whatever Ezekiel said he saw, or manifestations of chariots of the gods. Generally speaking, the Bible is not a very good source for UFO cases.
I wonder how the people who set down the Bible would think about the way today we have billions of people taking words like that literally.
I would say that the people who wrote the Bible, who are many, many people writing each part of it over a period of time, would probably think that we're wasting so much imagery without giving it any meaning, because at that time practically all imagery, symbolism, and sightings, as it were, had some kind of meaning. They had some kind of function in their original historical context, whereas today we just open any web page on this matter, and we see all kinds of strange sightings in the sky, and there's absolutely no symbolic explanation at all. So I imagine that from their point of view, it would be very surprising that we're not trying to interpret these strange wonders in the sky in a religious or political way.
What is your feeling about this personally? Do you think that the beings that we met up with through the ages were visitors from other planets, really?
Well, it would be a nice idea. I'm not against the possibility that some of the cases that we've been collecting over the years show, I don't know, some sign of intelligence at least. It would be wrong to think that that we have to reject all of that material as misinterpretations or fantasies and so on. So I would like to think that among all of that, there's some indication of intelligent life or some kind of visit from elsewhere. But my interest in UFOs doesn't stem from any kind of belief system. And to be honest, if tomorrow it was somehow demonstrated that none of this had a basis in reality, it wouldn't shake me at all, because that's not the reason why I study UFOs and folklore and so on. So, yeah, it'd be great. I hope there is signs of extraterrestrial visitation among these stories. But if there's not, well, that's fine too.
After the break, I'm going to give you the opportunity to answer one question before Crispy takes over, and that is, now that we are learning more and more about the potential for life of some sort to exist on other planets in the universe, possibly billions of life-bearing planets. We see here now that we possibly have billions of life-bearing worlds, which means possibly some of them are able to travel into space, maybe from star to star, not just planet to planet. Of course, I wouldn't presume to guess whether they can engage some form of warp drive, or even if such a thing actually exists. So Chris will ask you in our next segment whether you feel that is, in a way, proof that maybe something like that did happen in the past and is happening now. More to come. Our guest is Chris Aubeck with Gene and Chris B. You're in
the Paracast.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and foreign phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
The human body is extraordinary.
despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can give us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Chris Aubeck is joining us. We're talking about UFOs, ancient astronauts, folklore, UFOs in history. And before we did the break, I asked him about the fact that more and more evidence of other planets revolving around other star systems has appeared. Supposedly, there's a story now that one of the planets may have water even, although it's the size of Neptune, not the size of Earth. Does that really serve, Chris Aubeck, as more and more indications of the reality, the possible reality of ancient astronauts being astronauts and of today UFOs being visitors from space?
Well, at least it opens the door to interesting new possibilities, of course. It's great to find evidence that planets do exist which might be life-bearing. And, I mean, statistically, it seems to be a certainty that there are other planets which we could call neighbors in a sense. I mean, life-bearing neighbors, potentially. The problem really is that there's no evidence that any of these planets have anything to do with whatever we see here on Earth. Although it's a very nice idea, I would never be able to join those two dots because there's no indication that anything has ever flown from one of those planets that we haven't really seen yet to here on Earth where we don't have any proof either. So, yeah, it'd be a very nice idea, and I hope it's true. And if it hasn't happened already, it would be great if it did happen in the future. As I said before, I'm not really counting on it. It's one theory to explain the kind of stories that we've been collecting. It's not maybe the best theory, but it's certainly among those which deserve the popularity it has.
Chris O'Brien here. First of all, I want to welcome you to the show. I've been a huge fan of Jacques Vallée's for many years, since I was a kid, really. And I was very, very excited to see you as a co-author for Wonders in the Sky. And we were just briefly talking about the Bible before. We have a thread at our forum at forum.theparacast.com where our listeners can ask questions of our guests. And Alien Esquire has an interesting question relating to biblical images. And he asked, to what extent, if any, has your research focused on interpretations and the symbolism of UFO and mythical objects as featured in biblical and or non-secular artwork from historical periods such as the Renaissance? There's been an awful lot made of these strange little craft that are in the background in the sky and in Renaissance paintings and other paintings from the Middle Ages. Has your work really focused on any of these, and what do you make of those?
Well, when we were compiling the book, we did consider having a section on UFOs in art. The idea is very nice that over the centuries, UFOs have been depicted in artworks and, yeah, why not, you know, on cave walls and so on. The problem that I personally have with this, and, you know, after discussing it with Jax, we sort of came to this conclusion, I suppose, that there's no real indication in any of these paintings that what they were depicting was the UFO phenomenon or the UFO phenomena. What we see in general are religious symbols, whether that's eyes. I mean, it could be eyes or triangles or angels and so on and so on, which made a lot of sense when they were painted to the painter, and they made a lot of sense to the people who were paying for the painting too, because most of these pictures were made to order, basically, and each element in these pictures made sense to the people of the time. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't have risked their jobs to create them and sell them to noble families and so on. So I would say that we have to look at paintings representing UFOs with a certain amount of skepticism, because we need to put everything in context. And there are some very good resources on the internet which show where many of these shapes come from. If we find some picture of a UFO phenomenon which cannot be explained in a religious way, it would definitely go in the next version of the book. So far, we haven't really found one. The problem with interpreting images in paintings and on walls, cave walls, graffiti and so on from thousands of years ago is that we have a very preconceived idea of what a UFO should look like. Therefore, when we see thousands upon thousands of completely abstract and random shapes written on walls, we naturally look or pay more attention to those which look a little bit more like the UFOs that we've come to know over the last 50 years. The problem, in my opinion, though, is that our view of what UFOs should look like is also a little twisted and has been has evolved over the years, which is why in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, it was very popular in ancient astronaut books to show any creature with antennae as if they were Martians or Venusians, because for a long time that's how we depicted extraterrestrials, with two antennae on top of their heads, which is really just a remnant of the revolution that radio technology caused in the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century.
Like my favorite Martian, the TV show from the early 60s.
Exactly.
Ray Walston with his antennas that come up out of his head.
Yeah, exactly. We have a kind of deep-seated and probably forgotten awe of technology, of communications technology. If you look at, if you read a book like Haunted Media, for example, which I read recently about how technology evolved in the 19th century and at the beginning of the 20th, to become a part of our cultural inheritance, we looked upon new technologies like that, like radio transmitters and so on, as something practically parapsychological in itself, which is why mediums in the 19th century were often talking about how spirits communicated using a kind of radio waves, and they would themselves call themselves like human radios, transmitters, and practically all of the components of spiritualism in the 19th century were drawn from new technologies. So when we look at paintings and sketches and things in ancient books, in other media, what we really tend to do, we gravitate towards picking out those which remind us of our own idea of what a UFO looks like. But unfortunately, most of the time it's from science fiction or it's something like that. Because if you look on YouTube today, virtually all UFOs look entirely different. In general, they're just points of light or blobs of color in the sky. And it would be very difficult to find ancient depictions of exactly what we see today as UFO phenomena, because they were just these amorphous, I mean, today what we see are normally amorphous shapes. Even the idea of a flying saucer is pretty much old hat, in a sense. But people seeing a shape that looks just slightly like a flying saucer in an Egyptian tomb or somewhere like that would very quickly say, well, there you go, there's a spaceship.
Right.
This is the problem. You need some kind of historical perspective of all of this to make sense of it. And a lot of it just comes from our own prejudices and tendencies to find patterns.
Right, like the prevailing cultural context.
Yeah, exactly. If tomorrow I find, and I probably will, a story in an old newspaper that says that angels appeared and they have green skin, I mean, right now, some people will say, oh, look, there we have some reptilians. And maybe 30 years ago, they'd say, wow, look, green-skinned Martians.
We can get into that perspective in our next segment. Chris Aubeck joins Gene and Chris B. You're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-538-5252 because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-538-5252. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-538-5252. That's 800-538-5252.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Hi, my name is DeRay, suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle and actually absorb, providing nutrients, targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
So, Chris Aubeck, what we're saying here is we're viewing these in accordance with the cultural perceptions of the time. So,
So
depending on what we envision aliens to be, that's what we get. What we see is what we get. Of course, the big question is, therefore, what is the reality without the cultural interpretation?
Well, I think it's necessary to change the way we look at UFO cases. This is something that I'm working on now. I have a project which I've been working on for a couple of years with another ufologist called Martin Schoff, who's another British ufologist, and really he has an incredible brain for analyzing UFO reports, particularly historical ones, which is what we're focusing on, using all kinds of resources that weren't available before. And I'm referring to digital observatories and things, so we can calculate the positions of the stars and the planet on any day, any hour in history. He also has a deep knowledge of geography and geophysics, meteorology, and so on. So I'm working very closely with him to make sense as many historical reports as possible. And we're compiling many of these now as part of this project, which we hope to release in the near future. And it's going to be the first time anyone's ever approached the subject of historical UFOs in this way. That is, we're going to be looking very deeply into every technical aspect and possible interpretation of every report that we want to analyze, or which impresses us for not resembling a natural phenomenon or something like that. So with what I consider this new wave of ufologists using resources that weren't really available 20 or 30 years ago, we're going to be able to strip a lot of these stories of their archaic sounding or flowery content, their religious symbolism, and get down to what exactly the witnesses saw, if they saw anything at all. And it's interesting because we've taken books of omens, prodigies, and so on from the 17th century, for example, which in general are either embraced by ufologists in the know of historical UFOs as evidence of alien visitation or whatever. They are rejected wholesale by folklorists and historians as the imaginations of people with a political axe to grind. What I've been doing with Martin, and him particularly with all his scientific resources and knowledge, is to see if there was a kernel of truth behind these very old cases. And we're discovering that many of them do correspond with actual sightings, whether that was a meteor shower or some kind of juxtaposition of planets and so on. And this sort of gives us some hope in a sense, because if we can show that a high percentage of archaic cases were based on actual sightings of real anomalies — at that time they were considered anomalies and not today — then the cases which are even more anomalous, which are very strange, which one might describe a cube with arms and legs or whatever, maybe they too had a basis in reality. So what we're doing, we're looking at everything from the topography to the witnesses themselves, their lives, the weather at the time in many of these places. Using digital resources, we can get very deep into these cases these days and just, as I said, strip away a lot of this symbolism to see what's left. And we've come to the conclusion that many of these cases do, in fact, show anomalies.
The thing I wonder about here is we have enough trouble figuring out what somebody said 20 minutes ago. And you look at, for example, political talk radio or cable TV news, especially in the U.S. They can't agree what somebody said 20 minutes ago. So how do we presume to understand what somebody meant 2,000 years ago?
Well, 2,000 years ago would be very difficult. We focus mainly on the last two centuries. The good thing is that because of the digitalization of public libraries by Google and by practically every library, some way or another, whether independently or not, or through a commercial company like newspaperarchive.com, we can find a lot of reports made by scientists or by soldiers or politicians, people who had absolutely no reason to invent what they were describing, and they just put into their own words the content of their sighting. They just described exactly what they saw, which is very different from other periods in history when there was this tendency to invent stories to give them, to prove some religious or political point. By concentrating on scientific journals, or at least on the observations of people who had no reason to invent the tales, such as captains of ships, for example, we can find a whole series of reliable accounts. And of course, today too, which again I'm working on with Martin Schoff, we were able to check many of the smaller details in the statement. So if someone says he was looking through the west window and saw a certain thing over a mountain on a particular date at a certain hour, and at the same time he saw the moon in a certain position of the sky, we can check those details And once you find enough details that correspond with reality, you end up sort of taking at face value, in a sense, the rest of their testimony. But it takes a lot of research. The problem, in my opinion, is that most of the people who advocate the reality of UFOs, who defend it, acknowledge that it's a scientific problem, really, whether it's we're talking about parallel universes or whether it's visits from another planet or whether it's all from the human mind. It's a scientific problem. So it would be difficult to expect people who are only trained in journalism and just sharing this information in a narrative sense, as many books do, to be able to analyze these reports correctly. So that I think is the future of UFOs. It's of this subject. It's to be able to analyze things using modern resources and getting to the kernel of truth. And there has to be a kind of revolution in this subject, because I mean, even young kids these days have access to Google, and all of these instruments one day are going to look very easy to use.
But don't you wonder, this great emphasis on the fact that it must be ET UFOs, can't be anything else but ET. We need to get the message about our ET visitors out, that the government knows the truth and we want disclosure. Don't you think that really inhibits proper research into what's going on?
Well, you know, I haven't watched TV since the year 2003, and I don't buy any of these UFO magazines and so on. I don't subscribe to anything, and I just work with the material on my own, or in collaboration with a colleague. So, I don't find any of these books and magazines to interfere with the process of research. I think that if you focus on these materials, on this media as your main source of information, then sure, yeah.
Oh boy, the taint. Yeah, that's a problem that we discuss here at the Paracast quite often. Is how people, I think, have become lazy. They tend to become educated by the media, by some of these TV shows that are there to actually sell soap and fill up spaces between advertising blocks. And it's unfortunate that the culture, I think by and large, is being swayed by a Hollywoodized sort of pop culture version of these events. And it's good that you've stayed above the fray and that you haven't been slimed or tainted intellectually by this very unfortunate and I would say almost, I don't know, disturbing trend that's going on, at least in the Western culture. And it's just, you know, I can't emphasize enough how important it is to find good researchers and good authors and to do your own research, listeners, and make up your own mind based on really well thought out research.
Chris Ombeck is here with Chris B and Jean, or Chris O and Jean, or however you want it. You're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.